The Cap of J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Che, we got Charlie, we got you until 10 o'clock. Then it's Mike Greenberg at 10, Carmen Yurko at 12. Waddle and Sylvie will be broadcasting live from the Jewels at 370 North Des Plaines in the city. Right into Bleck and Abdallah. They'll lead you into White Sox baseball as they take on the Guardians. 6:30 pregame, 7:10 first pitch right here on ESPN 1000 with Len, DJ, and Connor. And thanks so much for checking this out on Twitch as well. Brought to you by BerniesBookBank.org, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. So, Cap, you know, when it comes to being a player in this town, when you're a player in this town, you know that you're going to get the benefit of the doubt. When you come out and you're a rookie and you're a young player, it's like, yeah, you know what? Whether it doesn't matter what team we're talking about, we have a rooting interest, an interest, a financial or sometimes emotional investment in a player. And nothing galvanizes the city more than the Chicago Bears. Cubs and Sox fans fight all the time. But when it comes to going to Soldier Field, everyone's a Bears fan, right?
Correct.
Same thing with the Sky and the Hawks and the Bulls and all the other teams in college. Everyone comes to see the Bears because the Bears are the number one team in this city for many, many people. And so when you have the one of the faces of the team, Justin Fields, when he's struggling, there's going to be people that's going to back him like no matter what. And some will hold him accountable saying, hey, you're good. You can be good, but there's a lot more that you can improve on, right?
So, you know, if we're critical or if we are giving our analysis or you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie or Carmen Yurk or Black and Abdul, if we're saying something that's negative, it doesn't mean we don't want the team to do well.
Right.
It doesn't mean we don't want the team to go 17-0 and win the Super Bowl. I'm just trying to be honest and give you my opinion. Doesn't mean I'm right. It just means it's my opinion.
Yes, everyone's opinion counts. The idea that you set an opinion aside, especially nationally, right? When someone has an opinion of the Bears and it's not lining up with your opinion, doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. It's just their opinion. That's why we have all of these. We're watching the games. We all have different feeling. But I will just tell you that based on the ebb and flow of any NFL season, if you come to the season with a roster that doesn't have a lot of talent on it or difference-making talent, more times than not, you'll underachieve. And that way, you have to add more so you can be one of the haves and not one of the have-nots in the NFL.
Completely agree. Well said.
So what we're leading to is Justin Fields. And Justin Fields is a young player, 23 years of age. He's a quarterback of this team, has an opportunity to take this city by the balls based on how the team plays. All I've looked for is balance on both sides of the football from this team. We've seen great defensive teams from the Bears for many, many years. I just want to see that from the offensive standpoint, where you can see the offense look like what we saw on Monday Night Football, or what we see from other teams, where the offense is vertical, where the offense is working, where you're getting touchdowns, where you're a threat, where you've got deep threats that can make a difference. Well, of course, when it comes to the Bears and the Packers, Cap, it's the game. Everyone wants to see this rivalry game. Everyone comes to the table because they want to see the Bears beat the Packers if you're a Bears fan. This is the question that was asked to Justin Fields, and then we'll respond on the other side.
Yeah. Just losing against this team, does it sting more because of the rivalry and you know how much Bears fans want to win this game?
Yeah. I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in, so... just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, you know, it hurts. But, you know, we just got to respond.
Now, we talked about this yesterday, but we put it in context today because we wanted to get the question and the answer.
Correct.
Now that you've heard it in context, what do you think?
I don't think he's trying to just be awful to the fan base. I don't. You just don't win when you say that. Because you can't tell me that the man or woman out there who's an Uber driver, or a secretary, or a lawyer, or a doctor, or a factory worker that races home doesn't have disposable income off the charts and decides, I'm going to save my money, I'm going to buy a Justin Fields jersey, or I'm going to bet a parlay on my team, or a same game, or a this or a that, and gets locked in. I've got to get up early to go to work, but I'm going to stay up for my team. And they lose. You can't tell me that it doesn't bother them, because before Justin ever rolled into town, all these diehard Bear fans were Bear fans. He wasn't. Mm-hmm. And when he rolls out of town, whether that's tomorrow or 20 years from now, they'll still be here, Bears fans. You can't tell me it doesn't mean something to them. And I don't think he's slandering the fan base. You don't win when you mention the fans. You do not win. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. Just losing against this team, does it sting more because of the rivalry and you know how much Bears fans want to win this game?
Yeah. I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in. So just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, you know, it hurts. But, you know, we just got to respond.
Well, I would say when I hear the question and the answer, I would say, well, that's his opinion. And also say that he is tone deaf to what the fans really want. Well, how many fans has he talked to be able to make that determination? As a matter of fact, I could go one step further and tell you that, and Cap could tell you this as well. No matter if you do put the uniform on, for some players, I'm not saying any on this Bears team, but for some players, I can make a case that losses don't matter to the Bears, to some Bears players, in that it's just the second game of the season. We'll move on to Houston, meaning that we don't isolate just on this one game. We got all these other games to play. We got 15 to go. Meaning, we've talked to players. It's like, yeah, we lost the game, but you know what? We got Houston. We got to move on, right? So the idea that it doesn't hurt the fans, of course. The Bears fans know the rivalry of the Packers. And so the idea that it doesn't hurt the fans because, well, you know, they're not in this locker room, it's a different type of feeling. There's an emotional and some a financial investment in the Bears. He's got to understand that.
Correct.
You don't win when you even bring up the question was, hey, you know, fans are really into this rivalry. Oh, you know, they're not in here with us. It doesn't hurt us. Yeah, they hurt too because they're rooting for you. You want to keep going back to the days of no fans in the stands like the pandemic, and just play the game? No, fans are emotionally connected to you. He's got to get that.
Correct. That's exactly my point. There are a lot of fans, men and women and kids. They revolve their Sundays around the Chicago Bears. That's just a fact. They get up, they plan the food, they put the jerseys on, and let's root for our Oh, we got pounded again by the Packers, 27-10. That hurts. They go to work the next day, and the Packer fan at work is taunting them, and man, I just want it to feel better. And then your quarterback says, yeah, but it's, you know, I see the guys in the room. It means as much to the fans as the guys in the room. The guys in the room, it's their job, and they make millions, and they work very hard. I'm not questioning any of that. But please don't tell me that fans who are putting their money and their heart, more importantly, into this, don't tell me it doesn't mean that much to them or as much.
Yeah, when I hear that, it makes me think, and we can go back to training camp as well, saying that, well, the fans are booing our practice, don't know what we're doing. Well, I think that's fair to say. The other thing is also those that understand that fans are emotional. We are emotional as Bears fans because we want the team to win. I don't know why he says,
just losing against this team, does it sting more because of the rivalry and you know how much Bears fans want to win this game?
Yeah, I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. I see the guys in the locker room every day. I see how much work they put in. So just coming out with a disappointing loss like this, you know, it hurts. But, you know, we just got to respond.
Yeah, the fans are disappointed, too. So does this mean I have to suit up to be able to feel the emotion of what you guys are going through? No, you lost. The fans lost. There are some Bears fans that have Packer fan friends, and they're going after them and trolling them because the Bears lost again to the Packers. Is it a different type of hurt? Yeah, because those guys went through a million car accidents out there, and because they put their bodies on the line. It's a different kind of hurt, yes. But emotionally, because we're connected to the Bears, yeah, we're disappointed that they lost.
Yes, and all he... And again, I know it's right after the game, and he played terribly, and he's emotional, he's upset. I get it all. The next time he talks to the media, if someone follows up, which they probably will, I think he speaks on Wednesday, tomorrow. Look, I know those fans are hurting, and I feel for them, and we're working hard to try and get this thing so we can give them a team they're all proud of, because they're right there in, their heart is in it, and our bodies are in it, and our minds.
Yeah,
that's all you have to do.
I would just say, just leave us out of it, right? I know the question was asked, but it ultimately, and the other side of this, let me just point this out too. You do like the honesty, right? At least you know what he's thinking.
Correct.
But to some people, will hear that and say, "Boy, he hates the fans. Couldn't care less about the fans."
Yeah, and I don't believe that.
Yeah,
I think he does care about the fans, and I think he loves that people wear his number one jersey, and he embraces this opportunity to be an NFL quarterback in this city. Remember what he said? I was born and meant to be here in this moment, and I'm built for this.
I just want him to try to understand. Don't put yourself in the trick bag, right?
Correct.
Just avoid those landmines and just say what's best for the team, representing the team. When you bring the fans up and just put kind of set them to the side, well, we are sorry. We're hurt, more hurt that we lost the game.
Because they're not putting the work in.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
You're not going to win that.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that's important. I think if it comes up again, I think he'll answer that better.
I completely agree with you.
And if he doesn't,
we'll be here to let you know.
How about the White Sox? Still being comfortable. Got the nice pillow. You know, is there anything we can do? You know, do you need us to bring some food in? Flowers? What do you need? Hospice.
That's what they're in.
The hospice Sox.
Can they rally and sweep the three? They'd get it. If they sweep the three-game series, and they got their pitching lined up, man, I'm going to be there tonight.
Yep.
Cease, Lynn, Cueto.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Okay, you'd be one game back, and you will have won the season series, so you'll have the tiebreaker. You can't win two of three.
Right.
And worse than that, then you can just start playing taps tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is it. Yes. It shouldn't have come to this, but here it is, Sox fans. We'll talk to Jesse about it coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 right here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app in which you could find White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight. Again, if you need some extra White Sox coverage, go to Connor McKnight at White Sox Weekly, available on the ESPN Chicago app. Jesse Rogers covers baseball for ESPN. He joins us at the White Sox. He's ready to take on the Guardians, a 7:10 first pitch over a guaranteed rate. You can hear that game right here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, boys. We have finally arrived at the moment that we've been waiting for. The season is on the line right now, right here. 3 days. What do you think, guys?
So I was talking with Hoodie. Yeah. Beep. We feel like they're in hospice.
Beep. Beep. Oh, God.
So maybe I'm going to back off of that for this.
Okay.
What I'm going to say is they have a gaping flesh wound, and they're being taken into the emergency room at Lutheran General, and they're going, oh boy, we've got some organ damage in here. This bullet went in deep, and so now we're going to have to treat it. If they lose tonight, move them to hospice.
Oh my God.
There'll be five back, two left. They've lost the tiebreaker. It's over. They got to sweep the series, get it to one, and then hope that they get some help.
Is that Cairo happenstance, or do you think he has some effect on this team? Because since the Kansas City series at the end of August, I've liked the way the White Sox have played.
No, there's no doubt he's had an impact. I don't think he's had the impact that some other people might believe. Like, I think the home run surge is a little coincidental. I don't think a managerial change all of a sudden gets you more home runs the next day. In fact, if you look at it, and I've been saying this all along, that Eloy is like the true power hitter in that lineup. He's had a third of the home runs since Miguel took over. So to me, it's a little coincidental in that department, maybe another. But in general, absolutely, he's had an effect. Different voice, a little bit more accountability, just little things, you know, a little different atmosphere, and they've had that jolt. Now, again, we've talked about this before. You do get a jolt most times when you change managers, even bad teams, good teams, whatever. You get a little jolt. So let's see how long this lasts. The problem is Terry Francona is damn good at his job. Cleveland didn't need to change managers, and they've stayed on pace with the White Sox. Under Cairo, the Sox are 13-6 during the same 19 games. The Cleveland Guardians are 12-7, so the Sox have picked up one game. But more importantly, over the last 12, the Guardians are 10-2. Now, why I say 12? Because they started a stretch of 18 games in 17 days, and they're 10-2 in the first 12. Just an amazing, amazing run by Cleveland. Francona would have my vote for manager of the year. This push, and if they hold on, would give him my vote. And there's a lot of good candidates, Scott Service, Dusty Baker, but I'd give it to the manager of the youngest team in baseball that did nothing at the deadline. Granted, it's the worst division, but you know what? Their record might be better than Seattle, might be better than a couple of these wild card teams. So you got to give, I think, Francona and this Guardians team a lot of credit, and you got to give Cairo some credit too.
So as you look at this series and the pitching is set up, Cease, yep. Lynn, Cueto. Mm-hmm. If this doesn't go the way we all had hoped, and they get beat tonight, they get beat tomorrow, whatever, and they're done. Hoodie has them not only in hospice, but...
Oh, well, no, hold on. Not dead yet.
Yeah.
It's still beeping.
Yeah. There's no...
No. Still beeping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they pronounce... Patient is dead.
Oh, God.
Okay, and they pull the thing up, the sheet. Okay? What happens next?
Macabre.
I don't think Tony's coming back this year. I don't think Tony's managing next year. So, do they go get Bruce Bochy? Because I'm hearing the Angels are trying to get him to take a deal now before anyone else gets Bruce Bochy. Does Bruce Bochy make sense? Do they go get someone else? Scott Harris just took the Detroit job. So, you know, this notion out there that maybe Rick Hahn has had enough. And Rick says, I'll take the Detroit job. That job's closed.
Sure.
So tell me, paint me a picture what happens with the franchise.
Yeah, okay, a couple things. First of all, I think in some ways they're still going to talk themselves into let's get these guys better prepared to play a full season. I mean, Luis Robert, since this wrist injury, has been awful. I mean, I was looking at his game log, 0-5, 0-5, 226 since mid-August. I mean, that's a guy you need. So they need to get these, even if they don't make any moves, just get them healthy for a full 162, and they will talk themselves into doing that at least. Managerial-wise, I don't know who Rick Hahn's go-to guy is, but I do know with a heavy Spanish-speaking team, you do need to lean that way a little bit. Ricky Renteria had it. Russo does speak Spanish. Obviously, Miguel Cairo does. You need to lean that way. So I'm not sure who Rick Hahn's guy is that fits that description as well. You have to keep that in mind also. We know there was interest in A.J. Hinch, but who's next on Rick's list? Hard to know. This is a team that you might assume would go from within. I think that would be a major mistake. I think they do need a new voice, and they certainly need some roster reconstruction, but they first and foremost need to get their players healthy for 162 with a new manager. And then let's see what they do from there. Some more left-handed hitting. We've talked about that. They definitely need some tweaks and some additions. There's no doubt. I don't think they're going to do a complete overhaul of the roster. I mean, it'd probably be silly to do that. You know, we've seen teams have a good year, then a bad year and rebound. And I think that's the way they're going to think about this thing. But you can't sit still. I think we all agree with that.
Okay, can update us on the injuries. We know Joe Kelly, you shaky bastard. Joe Kelly's out because of paternity, but update us on Kopech and Berger and Anderson.
Yeah, I don't think Kopech's coming back. I mean, Anderson is probably by the end of this homestand has a good chance of coming back, and that's a good thing. Add him with Elvis Andrus into the lineup, and we'll see how they play them both. And all of a sudden, maybe you get that burst of energy with Andrus and Anderson. We know Anderson brings that as well. You know, last time I was on with Waddle and Sylvie, Luis Robert had been out of the lineup for a few days. I thought, okay, they're trying to get him to 100% because 50% of Robert just isn't working. Even whatever that number is not working. He's missed the last few. I don't know if he's going to be 100% the rest of the way. I think it's pretty obvious he isn't. So the question is, does he play or is he just a pinch runner? Maybe he takes one swing. Because even Stoney and Benetti have pointed out he gets a couple good swings, then the wrist gets a little sore, and you see swings late in the game that aren't as good. So maybe he becomes the best pinch hitter in the league, and that's the best you get out of Luis Robert. Doesn't sound like he's going to be 100%. And like I said, I think Kopech's pretty much done. Kelly's down. But, you know, their key guys are still there. Their best players have to be their best players. Cap, you said it. Cease, Lynn, Cueto, assuming Cueto's past this illness. Think about this. Again, 18 games in 17 days for Cleveland. Savali coming off the IL. Then McKenzie and Bieber. No rest for those guys. The White Sox are very rested. It sets up for a good series for the White Sox, but we know we've seen this before. It's hard to sweep a team, but this is the one time you just got to go for it.
You got to go out and beat somebody's ass.
That's
three
right, yeah.
straight games. Take them one batter, one pitch, one out at a time, and let's freaking go, and let's have a race here over the last several games. Jesse, in terms of Tony La Russa, you know, there has been no clarity.
Could you just let him rest?
No, yeah, because people keep bringing it up. Hey, Miguel, any update on Tony? Hey, Rick, I know you got COVID. Anybody update on Tony? Like, is it a distraction in that room or is it overblown? I'm not saying it is. I'm simply asking the question.
From what I've heard and been around, I don't think it's a distraction because of the time of year. If this was June or July, I think it might be. But this is where everything's at stake and the players know it. The players know if they fall short, it's kind of an embarrassment. They understand all that stuff. And Miguel's been pretty steady. It'd be one thing if Miguel had no idea what he was doing. So they went to a guy that kind of knows what he's doing. We haven't seen any major glaring mistakes out of him, and now we're 3 weeks into this thing. Yeah, of course, you can second-guess a pitching move or a bunt or a not bunt. But in general, he's been pretty steady. So I don't think it's a distraction in the room. I think it's a distraction for the rest of us. I do know that Tony wants to manage, and I don't think that's breaking news. I just don't know if he's going to. The days are starting to click off. They're playing well without him. So whether it's clearance or even if he gets clearance, there's a conversation, hey, let's let Miguel just finish this off. I don't know what's happening there, but I do know he would like to manage and just hasn't been completely cleared for it. So we'll find out if there's something new there. But I don't think it's a distraction, not because of the situation they're in. They've got other things to worry about, and that's called the playoffs.
Now, here's a deep question for you, Jesse. With the rules changes that will occur in Major League Baseball, do you foresee more starting pitchers being able to complete their no-hitters? How often have we seen already this season somebody goes six, but the pitch counts too much and they have to leave? We saw this just the other night, right, with Scherzer. We see this so often where someone's going six or seven. Now, you know, it's 99 pitches, 100 pitches. You got to go.
And he was perfect for through six, Scherzer,
yeah,
right?
Was. What's interesting is that guys like him can come off the IL. He was on the IL and do this. We've seen a few guys. And to me, it underscores the advantage pitchers have these days, especially the smart veteran pitchers that know how to use technology and data and just can set up these hitters. You would not see a guy come off the IL and pitch six perfect innings in the old days. So the elimination of the shift is going to help eliminate some of these moments. But, I mean, eventually I hope we get back to starters being strong enough to throw 120. I mean, Edwin Jackson threw 140 pitches in a no-hitter one. I mean, we don't see that anymore. You have to train these pitchers to do it, Jay Hood. And eventually, and this is Theo Epstein's idea, if you limit the number of pitchers on a pitching staff to like 11, the starters are going to have to learn how to pitch, right, deep mm-hmm. into games. But we're not quite there yet. We have 14 on a staff. You're not forcing these guys to learn how to go deep.
Do you remember the game strikeout we played or wall ball?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Fast pitch. You would buy those rubber baseballs. You'd buy like four or five of them. They're like 49 cents.
Yeah.
We'd draw a box on the wall to schoolyard. Yeah. Dude, I would pitch all day long.
Yeah, so much fun.
And you learn how to throw curveballs and sliders and fast. That's where you build arm strength.
You stay out there until the streetlights come on, Jesse. That's how that worked.
Yeah, we'd eat cereal for breakfast and then go to the park. And now today they'd be at like 8:30 in the morning. All right, you're at your pitch count. Come home.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
they're learning how to pitch at max effort for shorter periods of time, right? In the old days, pitchers would hold a little something back. We actually see this once in a while with like, who is it, that Verlander or Cease sometimes. There's something late, right? Mm-hmm. Or Carlos Rodon, you have something late. So that was the norm back in the day. You hold something back. You don't go max effort, even for relievers, so they can pitch multiple innings. But it's max effort, short stints now instead of the other way around.
Jesse, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right, guys. Should be fun. Talk to you later.
Jesse Rogers covers Major League Baseball for ESPN, joining us here on Cap and Jay Hood. We're going to find out who had the worst weekends. But first, Danny's going to put money in your pocket in 1 minute on Cap and Jay Hood.
Swept by the Pirates?
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma.
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet.
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap and Jay Hood.
We have a busy Bears Monday. That's why we move our worst weekends to Tuesdays at 9:35 here on ESPN 1000. It gives you the extended weekend. Along with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We're with you until 10 o'clock. Then it'll be Mike Greenberg at 10, Carmen Yurko at noon. Then Waddle and Sill will be broadcasting live from Jewel at 370 North Des Plaines in Chicago. So
Jewels.
Yeah. So we want you to make sure you stop by and see the guys. Could you imagine? There he is, Sylvie and Waddle, right there at the frozen food section.
A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter.
Could you imagine? It's
like, get the 2% milk, Waddle. That's much healthier, right?
Could you imagine that? You're just around there, I've got to get fish sticks. I've got to get the Swanson TV dinner for my husband when he gets home.
Don't get that. It's too much salt.
Could you imagine him judging?
Sodium content, Waddle?
Bring it over here, Waddle, so I can see the sodium content. Healthy, right?
Go with the Connie's pizza.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the experience, I think. 2 to 6 with Waddle and Sylvie at the Jewels. 370 North Des Plaines. Go see the guys.
That's like right here in the River North toward West Loop area, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to be driving right by there. I might have to come in and do my grocery shopping.
He's going to judge you.
No, 100%.
He's going to judge your cart.
He judges everything I do.
So funny. Black and Abdallah at 6.
Take shots.
Right into White Sox baseball as they take on the Guardians. 6:30 pregame and a 7:10 first pitch. Important series right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Worst weekends, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, I want to get started with, Hoodie, your team, the Georgia Bulldogs, went into South Carolina and beat the brakes off that team. Shane Beamer after the game yells at a reporter. That's where I want to start this. Here's Shane Beamer yelling.
Give up in the locker room. Hell no. Kind of questions that, Phil. We're 1-2. We're 1-2. We got a bunch of fighters in that room. And give up. That's not a part of this football program. Get out of here, man. With that. No.
Give it to me again, Charlie. Give it to me again. Hell no, Phil.
You sense any give up in the locker room? Hell no. Kind of questions that, Phil.
Come on, Phil.
We're 1-2. We're 1-2. We got a bunch of fighters in that room, and give up. That's not a part of this football program. Get out of here, man. With that,
no. Young Beamer going after the reporter. Go Cox, no Cox. How about that?
Unfortunately for Beamer, Phil is not the only person he yelled at. He also yelled at all of the female athletes at South Carolina to get off the field during their Title IX celebration and was made to issue a public apology.
Well, he said, so the
did you see this?
Yeah. So the school had invited all female athletes to participate in a ceremony honoring the 50th anniversary of Title IX during a TV timeout between the first and second quarters of the ass whipping against Georgia in Columbia, South Carolina.
Sick 'em.
The group did not quickly leave the Gamecocks end zone, and the ESPN broadcast, they use what's called a parabolic mic, like you see the big like radar dish, or satellite dish the guy holds.
Mm-hmm.
That is a field mic that picks up conversations all over the place. And the ESPN parabolic mic caught Beamer's outburst. He says, I had not been informed about the ceremony and was told by officials, your players need to be ready to go when the TV timeout is over, because they were trying to convert on a 4th and 9 on the ensuing play. Our offense is out there. George is able to see the formation, and we're waiting for everyone to get off the field.
Sorry, it's a bad look. You want the ladies out there to represent Title IX in a great ceremony, and you're waving them off the field.
He said,
I don't care what.
Shouting at them. Yeah, get shouting. Off the field.
Shouting okay. at them.
So Cap. He said, we send our offense out there to go for it. Okay. They're on the line of scrimmage. George is watching the formation. We did what we were asked to do by the officials. We were not able to snap the football. I looked down in the end zone and I see why. My first initial reaction was, get off the field. I had no idea who was down there.
Can I just tell you something? He's a little jerk. So, no justification there. Title IX, and you're going to wave the women off the field.
He did. He said, I had no idea what it was.
I don't care. He's a little jerk. By the way, why don't you yell at those fans that were leaving the second quarter? I got that on my Twitter as well. How about when we were kicking their ass? How about those fans that were leaving Columbia? How about that? Want to yell at them?
48-7.
Yeah. Shay.
So that's candidate number one, Shane Beamer, head coach at South Carolina. Candidate number two is a former head coach. Herm Edwards' Arizona State team lost at home in Tempe to the Eastern Michigan Eagles. And after the game, who was there to meet him in the end zone? His athletic director and his president. Herm, thanks for all your services. You're no longer needed. Nice knowing you, pal. Gets fired in the end zone.
Now think about this. We've heard about being fired on the tarmac, right?
Yep.
Was that not? Oh, I'm losing it now.
Lane Kiffin by USC.
Thank you. Fired on the tarmac.
The plane landed, and there he is. Lane Kiffin. Pat Hayden needs to see you over here off the tarmac. What?
Yeah, you're fired.
Herm was fired on the field.
Right.
He was in the end zone, and they gave him the little pat on the back. And Herm, so how it started is when you'll see the video, Herm, you know how you coaches are. Can't believe that kid didn't come out there. I don't know why that kid didn't do it. Hey, Herm, hey, don't worry about the game. Hey, Herm, we're going to let you go, buddy. We're going to let you go after this. What? Yeah, we're going to let you go. We'll talk in the office. Yeah, no problem. Okay, we'll talk.
We'll talk more in the morning is what they said.
Yeah.
And Herm's like, fine. And the guy who had to fire him, the AD, that was his agent.
Fired on the field.
On the field.
Couldn't even make it to the airport.
That's a bad Saturday. First of all, you got to pay Eastern Michigan through the nose probably over $1 million.
Oh, it was easily $1 million to come in and get their head kicked in, and they beat your ass.
Yeah, Herm, we're going to fire you right here at the end zone.
You're up.
Shay, that's a bad Saturday.
All right, here we go. The PGA Tour season opened, and Danny Willett had the lead on the final green. All he had to do was make one putt from 3 feet. Listen to this.
He's not done yet. Not done yet at all.
Missed the first.
And I am not sure that I believe what I just saw here.
Missed the second.
It is Max Homa who defends and wins the opener of the PGA Tour season here in Napa.
Two shots to win the opener. Both putts from 3 feet. Whiffs them both. Max Homa takes the title.
You see that? That's the yips right there, isn't it?
That is the pressure getting to you.
That's pretty bad. That'd be me in that spot.
Like, at the very worst, you're thinking, all right, there's a little break here. Let me just tap it.
Yeah.
Tap it in. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo, as Happy Gilmore would say. Okay, at the very worst, you're thinking, all right, I missed from 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I got 3 inches. I'll just knock it in, and we'll go to a playoff.
Nope.
Man, that's a tough way. Shay, what's the other candidate?
The final candidate is the front man of Maroon 5, Adam Levine, mm-hmm. who finds himself in a bit of a scandal because an Instagram model took to TikTok and blew up his DMs. It seems that Adam Levine was cheating on his wife with this Instagram model and then DMing her asking if he could name his child after her.
Oh, my God. That's the worst, Cap.
So,
what do you think of that?
So, you know who his wife is?
Mm-mm.
Bahati Prinsloo. I think she's a supermodel.
Yeah, she's a Victoria's Secret model.
Yes. She's 1 to 10, she's a 90.
No kidding.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And so you decide to step out on her.
Yeah, and again.
Don't say it. Don't say that. Don't say that. We're not on Sirius XM. Don't say what you're going to say.
Do you know what
I'm... Yeah, I know what you're going to say. Don't say that. Please, have a filter for once, for God's sakes. I know what you're going to say. For every husband that has a wife. Yeah, whatever. Don't say that. Don't do that line.
Show me.
Don't do that. No. I like the job. Don't get us canceled here. Charlie, you say it.
I'm all right.
You know the line, Charlie, right?
Yeah, no, I know the line.
You got credit. Danny liked you on the other segment, so you're good. He's an idiot.
Go ahead, Shay. What are you going to say? Go ahead. Say it on the air.
Cap, we don't need to say that on the air. Oh! Charlie got his kudos in the studio. We can leave it in the studio.
Whatever, Shay. Suck up.
So inside.
So inside. JCPenney.
Adam Levine is a moron.
Based on him stepping out on his wife. And trying to maybe...
Look, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
The fact that you want to name your kid after your mistress?
Yes.
Okay, that's about as ridiculous as I ever have heard.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I don't think anything shocks me anymore, and then I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Moron. Okay. Go ahead, Shay.
So there you go. Those are the four candidates. We'll put that at ESPN 1000. Who had the worst weekend? I think I kind of know. Because, you know, for every super hot girl, there's a guy that's... All right, coming up next, we have the Cap and J Hood Cut of the Day on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show. Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. So glad that you're with us here. Don't forget, Greeny's coming up next, followed by Carmen and Yurko and Wall and Sylvie. Sidebar, Mary, approach.
Yes, sir. Brought to you by Ankin Law. 3126 million for the great Howard Ankin. Put that lawyer in your phone.
Sign my ball. Today is National Pepperoni Pizza Day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like pepperoni pizza?
I do. Very much so. Big fan.
Over sausage?
No, I wouldn't say that. I like them both.
I didn't have pepperoni pizza as a kid as often.
Really?
Mm-mm.
I like only have pepperoni pizza.
Only pepperoni.
Tier one, yeah.
Sausage, onion, pepper is the best.
Tier one?
How about that? Would you say, Charlie, use like the combination of onions and what else?
Sausage, onion, pepper, nothing tops it.
Pepper, like what kind of pepper?
Like, yeah, like bell peppers, you know.
I hate red, green, yellow bell peppers. My wife and I, both kindred spirits, despise.
The peppers on the pizza.
Like green pepper?
Any kind of peppers.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'll eat a hot pepper, like ghost pepper sauce.
Yes.
But the sweet pepper, the bell pepper, vile.
Now time for the Cap and J Hood Cut of the Day.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
There was a guy that was just standing there, and I guess it's a ritual at Bills games, that just took a face full of mustard, if you'll pardon the expression. They just, I mean, can you imagine that, Cap? I mean, just taking a whole bunch of mustard. They were just, like he's standing there by himself. He's got a hot dog up, and he's getting sprayed with mustard.
And ketchup.
And ketchup. All over his face.
And we call that in the porn industry a facial.
Oh, is that what? Yes.
Yes.
I see that.
Yes.
Oh, is that thing what they call it?
Yes. There's another more graphic term, but I'm afraid the long-haired boss of ours would come down here and go, you can't say that.
Yes.
So I'm not going to use that word, but it's unbelievable video.
Mm-hmm. Rhymes with Sasaki?
Yes.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
What do we do for a living every day? What is that?
I went to school for this.
I paid money to do this.
I don't know, Cap. I don't know. That's what it is, though.
I got home last night, and I'm like, I'm exhausted. I was on like 3 hours of sleep because I did the post game.
Yeah.
My wife's like, oh, that 3 hours must be exhausting. Because she goes to work for like 9 hours.
Of course.
Right.
But we're doing God's work here.
That's exactly right, Mindy.
That's the difference. And we're having fun.
Jealous, huh?
How many laughs does she have at work?
Exactly.
How about that?
Exactly.
Being around friends and such.
Correct.
All right.
Do you have a best friend at work? I do.
Yes. David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hill.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Our thanks to you for listening and calling and twitching. Our thanks to our guests Jesse Rogers and Albert Breer. Tomorrow, it's a Connor McKnight Wednesday. We'll get a chance to review the Sox and the Guardians and so much more.
I'm excited to be in the stadium tonight. And I'm going to guarantee you they win tonight.
I hope so.
I'm getting it done for you.
It's all lined
up. For my friend, for my brother, I'm going to deliver a White Sox win. 4-2 tonight.
For Shay and for Charlie and for Cap, this is Jonathan Hood. Thanks for listening to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.